Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on social at BeatOn300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. We had a much-needed break, a bye week. The team needed a break. They had a break in the schedule where it wasn't a ranked opponent, and we are back. We are playing the Pitt Panthers at home this weekend, October 28th. 3:30 kickoff for Eastern Standard listeners and 2:30 for my Illinois guys just like me. But season's already two-thirds of the way over. You got eight games down. You finish it the first two-thirds, 6-2, in the 14th ranked position with two losses to ranked opponents. And I think, you played four ranked opponents in consecutive weeks. No bye week, no buffer, no nothing. And yeah, maybe the team didn't come out unscathed, but I'd like to think that regardless of result, even though we did go 2-2 in those games, we came out a much better team on the other side. And the defense is actually an elite unit. I was looking at the top defensive units yesterday when I was doing my NIU podcast. And let me just count this down for our listeners real quick. So the top defenses in the nation. So Penn State, number one, Air Force, number two, Michigan, number three, Ohio State, number four, Ohio Bobcats, number five, Georgia Bulldogs, six, Clemson, seven, Rutgers, eight, Texas A&M, nine, Troy, 10, and coming in at the number 11th best defense in the nation is our Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Under 300 yards total per game, only giving up 153 through the air and 129 on the ground, and allowing a measly 16 points per game, 16.4, if you will, but we'll round down. So in a year where our offense wowed early and we were scoring on every drive and scoring in 2 minutes and, you know, quick plays, it's the defense that has really won me over throughout the course of this season. And I'm really proud of the way they've played football up to this point of the season, regardless of result. The secondary has played phenomenal. The defensive line has played phenomenal. It's been great play from guys like Morris Lafau and J.D. Bertrand. It really has been a full unit effort, and they're firing on all cylinders. And I think this is a week for the offense to get back to doing the same. So I know we scored 48 points again last week or 2 weeks ago against USC, but we haven't had back-to-back 40- or 30-point games since September. So if you look at our totals, USC 48, Louisville 20, Duke 21, Ohio State 14, and the last time we scored 40 points before the USC game was September 16th. So, and I know we were stacking and cracking 30s and 40s because at the beginning of the year, it wasn't a damn thing to go out there and throw up 30 points. So 42 against Navy, 56 against Tennessee State. So, yeah, first four games of the season, you're above 40 points. Three out of the next four, you're under 40. So just a try to find a way to win football games different ways. But you have four games left. You play Pitt this week, who comes in 2-5. You play Clemson, play Wake Forest, and you play Stanford. Since we already did lose the game that we weren't supposed to lose yet this season, I'm not afraid of anything on these last 4 weeks. Pitt has underperformed this year. Clemson has underperformed this year. We took Sam Hartman from Wake Forest, and it's senior day, so there just ain't no chance that's happening. And then Stanford's terrible. They beat Colorado. Colorado's awful. Okay, I don't – cool, Deion Sanders won a couple games at the beginning of the year. All four of these teams at the end of our schedule are terrible. Have to go 4-0. You sit at 14 in the rankings, and if you can go 4-0 in those games and get some help, there's no reason why in the final regular season rankings of the season, we're not a top 10 team, and we don't have an opportunity to go to a New Year's Six bowl game. It wouldn't make any sense in the world to me if we weren't in one, if we went 10-2. We have quality wins. Our losses are against ranked opponents. And the teams that we beat the absolute shit out of. Even North Carolina State, that was one that people didn't expect us to win by 21, and we went out there and won that shit by 21. So, would like to see Sam Hartman return to the 300-yard club. Has only one 300-yard game as a member of the Irish, and that was against Central Michigan. Audric Estime also has not rushed for 100 yards plus since Central Michigan. So when I say let's get the offense back on track, yeah, well, we did score 48 points against USC. Some of that was kickoff. Some of that was defense. And this is a week that after the bye week, after, you know, we went through what we've gone through throughout the middle of the season, I look for this offense to come out and punch Pitt in the goddamn mouth. Absolutely zero reason why they can't do so. And the over-under is set at 44.5. I mean, Pitt's probably not going to score that much, but a Notre Dame team total for this weekend is not that bad. I'm actually going to try and pull that up real quick. So, yeah, we're favored by 20.5 points. The over-under is 44.5 points. And the Notre Dame team total is 31.5. That basically is saying we're going to score 5 touchdowns. I think we can. I mean,
is it probably a better bet to just take the over and just 35-10 Notre Dame? Yeah, maybe it's a better bet, but Notre Dame's scoring 30 points in this game, one way or the other. I don't care. Pitt's terrible. They do bring back two of our former players here in the past, quarterback slash now converted tight end Phil Dracovic and former running back Sebo Flemister, who actually had a relatively productive career in his time at Notre Dame. He was just in a very crowded backfield, and he's made a good home for himself at Pitt. I can't say the same for Phil Dracovic. Phil transferred to Boston College and then ultimately landed over now at Pitt. But this is a game that we should have from the outset. We should dominate from the very beginning. There should be no point, you know, past 0-0 where this game is even tied. I mean, Pitt is awful. Let's look at the Pitt results on this year. So Pitt has a 2-5 record, as I said. They're last place in the ACC. They're one win. They have two wins on the season. One against Wofford, and then one against Louisville the week after we lost to Louisville. So they beat the team that we lost to. Watch out. Transitive property in sports. They got a loss to Cincinnati, 27-21, 17-6 West Virginia. They got smoked by North Carolina, 41-24, smoked by Virginia Tech, 38-21, and they just lost last weekend, 21-17 against Wake Forest in a game that they actually lost on, like, one of the last few plays of the game. So I saw the final drive. Wake Forest had, like, a fourth down conversion around midfield, and then they just broke one loose once they got into plus territory. Not your standard Pitt Panther team. I mean, I know I came on the show at the beginning of the season and talked about, you know, Pitt's usually a team that you find at the very worst 6-6, 7-5. And they're going to be struggling to get to bowl eligibility. They're probably not going to get to a bowl, to be honest. They're playing, yeah, there's no chance. They play us. They play Florida State. They play Syracuse. They play BC and Duke. They could probably get wins against Syracuse and BC, but they're not beating us, Florida State or Duke. Florida State, legitimate college football playoff contender right now. They last week, they were down big, and then they came back and won big. So they just continue to beat the shit out of everyone. But one thing that I will say is, looking at our schedule, I'd way rather get an opportunity to play Florida State than Clemson next week. Clemson lost again last week to Miami. They're terrible this year. The NIL is eating Dabo Swinney up. But back to our game, I think it just goes back to controlling the way we play. And if we even play half as good a game that we played against USC, we're winning this game by a lot. I don't see
The highest amount of points they've scored is 45 against Wofford and 38 against Louisville. And other than that, they really don't get out of the 20s. They don't have a quality offense. I do want to see who took over at quarterback since they moved Philly Phil back to a skill position. But, yeah, so Phil's the leader on the season at 818 yards with a long of 75, 6 tutties and 3 picks. Christian Viu is the new starter with 647 yards, a 3% better completion percentage, 5 touchdowns and 2 picks. And then, as I stated earlier, Sebo Flemister is the lead back, 68 carries, 282 yards, and 2 tutties. They also deploy 2 other backs at a decent amount. Rodney Hammonds, 8 carries behind Flemister for 247. And Daniel Carter has 23 carries for 104 yards. So 3 backs that they've all utilized relatively consistently, and 3 backs that you should look out for, but one that you definitely, like, Sebo Flemister is going to be playing with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, obviously, because, I don't know, maybe he felt like he should have stayed at Notre Dame revenge game for him. So definitely try to box him up. Don't let him hurt us. He hasn't had an overly productive year, but again, this is a Pitt team that hasn't been able to run the football as much as they want because they've been chasing games for a majority of the season. I'm also sure, too, that somewhere in practice, whether Phil is a quarterback or not, Phil Dracovic's playing tight end, I promise you there is going to be some sort of Phil Dracovic pass worked into this game plan one way or the other. So keep an eye out for trick plays. I don't really know which way to lean on the spread. 20.5, a lot of points. I can see it going either way, right? Like I can see like a 31 or like 35-17, 35-13. Like it could be one of those type of games where we just blow them the fuck out. But one thing I do know is that I'm taking the first half. I hate big spreads, especially with my team at the end of the game. Like, if we're up big in the first half, a lot of teams take their foot off the gas, you know? So, give me the first half spread in this game. I got to double check and see the exact line, but in Notre Dame, first half, 16.5 ain't looking too bad either on Bet Rivers. That's a good bet. -132. It's a little bit juiced. So, yeah, my two bets for this game will be Notre Dame first half -10.5. I think you're up by at least 14 going into halftime. And then also, too, with one of our sponsors, Bet Rivers, they have first half team totals. So what we're going to do is we're going to take Notre Dame first half -10.5. We're going to take first half over 16.5 total points. The 10.5 is -105, and the over 16.5 is -132. It's a little bit more juice, but the juice is worth the squeeze. Ain't no way we're going into halftime without 17 points this weekend. So definitely love that for us. There are some winners out there this weekend. I do look like I don't normally bet a lot of props too on Notre Dame or just in college football in general because they tend to be such a crapshoot. But the last two props that I have bet for Notre Dame have hit with the Audric Estime touchdown bet that was kind of inspired by my player of the game pick. And then also I had a Sam Hartman over 1.5 touchdowns on like a parlay against Louisville, and he got it late. It didn't end up mattering because we still got fucking blown out, but it was good to see that one go through the hoops. Let me pull up the books and see if they have any of the lines listed for player props. It is kind of early in the week. Yeah, nothing on MGM. Let's see if our friends at Rivers are usually the ones that are ahead of the curve because they have their prop central over there. And I know I've mentioned it on the On Tap Bet show earlier in the year, but If you make a prop parlay on college football Saturdays, they usually give you a profit boost to use on college or the NFL. So definitely a good deal. In other news too, college football for me stays hot during the week. Had a bad Saturday, got some of it back last night with some New Mexico State money line, as well as a first half under because I'm a sick fuck. But yeah, so it's 44.5 pretty much everywhere, and there's no player props. So I will tweet out some player props if I see them posted later on in the week, just because I do think there is some value on Audric Estime's rushing yards. And I also I think it's just a game where everything clicks. I think Sam Hartman has a big day, and I think Audric Estime has a big day. Yeah, none of these books have anything listed for several days. So it's all good. Tune in to On Tap Bets this weekend, and we'll find you those winners. From a defensive standpoint, we don't have to do anything outside the box. We don't have to get crazy. We just have to play our game. We're going to create pressure with the pass rush. We're going to create turnovers with the secondary and with the linebackers. And it's going to be a tough day for Pitt to move the ball. I think it's a failure as a defense if Pitt gets anywhere near 20 points. Pitt has a team total in the first half that's only 6.5, so they're only expecting a touchdown from them in the first half. And then in the second half, or in total, it's 11.5. That's a low number, but there are a lot of scenarios where I see Pitt only escaping with 10 points. I think the more realistic scenario is that 11.5 points ain't around any key numbers, so I ain't taking that shit. But I like this game to finish somewhere around, like I said, 35 to 13, maybe 35 to 10, 35 to 14. I'll say 35 to 13 to stick to it. So a touchdown and two field goals from Pitt. Yeah, it shouldn't be a game that during any point we're stressed or we're under duress thinking like, all right, they're causing us havoc up front. They're not letting us beat them deep. We have to beat them, you know, between the tackles. I think this is going to be a game that the offense is going to feed into the defense. The running game is going to feed into the passing game. And everyone's going to play complementary football. I think that no matter which way you look at it, it's a win. It's 91% on the FPI. And I don't see why we can't cover the full game spread. But like I said, I don't like those big numbers. And if you're going to give me the team half the time, half the number, I usually like it. Sometimes I get burned on first halves, but I do love a good first half bet. Get in, get out. Like sometimes, for example, like I had a game yesterday where I took the first half under at 30.5. It finishes at 24.5, and the game over hit still. Even though it was a touchdown short at halftime, the full game over hit. So sometimes if you have a feeling that the team's going to hop out to an early lead, which I think they will, like it could be 14-0 at the end of the first half, guys. Like, or at the end of the first quarter. So I trust where this team is at. I trust the confidence and the consistency that we'll see this weekend. I think that Marcus Freeman is no pun intended, about as free as he's ever been at Notre Dame, to where he is, you know, joking around in the press conference about what plays were called in his son's youth football game with one of the reporters. You know what I'm saying? So it was just a very fun last 10 days to be a Notre Dame fan. I still have been watching videos from the USC game. I did see a video of Sam Hartman where he was on the headset in the USC game, and he was like, "This is mission control. We got him," talking about USC. So it was just really good to see Coach Freeman, Coach Golden, all the players firing on all cylinders, having a great time playing football and doing the same thing throughout the week in practice. Yeah, Hartman did a book signing, saw he shaved the beard and shaved the stash. So he is He's feeling himself. He is definitely going to be on the cover of some GQs once he gets to the NFL. No, you know, so he definitely is having fun with his 1 year at Notre Dame. And I think that all things considered, he hasn't had the best games in the past. He hasn't had that 300-yard game since Central Michigan. I think he pops off for 300 yards and a couple touchdowns this weekend against Pitt. I also think Estime is going to get us over 100 yards, and he'll find a way to get in the end zone as well. So if Hartman's throwing for a few and Estime is at least getting one, there's 21 right out the way, right out the gates. And then on top of that, on the defensive side of the ball, I think that this is a week that I look for the secondary to have another big week. I love interceptions. I love pick sixes, one of the more exciting plays in all of sports, and just one of the more difficult plays to be able to capitalize on. I never got one, and I played linebacker and defensive back for a long time. I got tackled at the 1 yard line by a quarterback because I'm, and I'm obviously not as good as the Notre Dame DBs, but Xavier Watts, Benjamin Morrison, all these guys back there. I look forward to another day of the no fly zone. If they're out there getting three picks off Caleb Williams, one, Pitt is going to try to run the hell out of the football and stay out of that no-fly zone. And two, when we have them in pressure downs, when we have them pinned behind their own 20 and it's a money down, a second or a third down, you got to peel your ears back, get the blitz there, and then the DB's got to be able to jump those routes, and the rest will take care of itself. I really do trust the way this defense is being played and the way this defense is being coached, despite the fact that we have two losses. I think it's one of the better defenses that I've seen here in the past few years at Notre Dame, and I'm really proud of the way they're playing and proud of the way they've rallied. To pick one player, I'm going to go Benjamin Morrison. I think Benjamin Morrison, like I said on the USC postgame show, is a player that has Thorpe Award finalist and Thorpe Award winner written all over him before his career here at Notre Dame is done. So I would love nothing more for Benjamin Morrison to go out there and grab an interception on Saturday, come down with a pick, bring it back to the house. Pick six for Benjamin Morrison. And then, like I said, we'll do 35-13 on the score. And then for the bets on the show, we'll do -10.5 first half, over 16.5 Notre Dame points first half, over 31.5 full game. I really do look forward to just getting a free Saturday. So for me, the first 8 weeks of the season are always hell for me because I don't do a Bears podcast anymore. So I'm all college, and then I do the bets one. And the bets one, we talk about a lot of the college games. And then, you know, I get to Saturday, and Saturday, as you guys know, I'm either at one of the two. I only did one Notre Dame game this year, but I go to pretty much damn near every NIU game. And then even when those games are on the road, like, I'm just fucking locked doing tweets for like 6 hours, just straight all caps tweets for both my teams. And then two, I live and die with every snap. You know what I'm saying? So very rarely do I get the twofer on Saturdays, you know, where I get an NIU win and I get a Notre Dame win, and the post-game podcasts are all, you know, shits and giggles and everything's fun. The last Saturday that we had, I did get that. But now I'm at the point of the season where my Saturdays are literally just my Notre Dame game in the middle of the day. No work. Well, actually, I lied. I do have work because of high school football playoffs. So I will be working, but I'll still be watching because I can watch from that job because that job's awesome. Literally get to just bring my laptop, watch football, and listen to football at the same time. So very cool job. Love my gig over there at the 102.3 The Coyote over in Rochelle. But, yeah, I only have responsive. Well, I have Sundays for the Bears, I have Tuesdays for the NIU, and I have Saturdays for Notre Dame. So I got three different days to enjoy all of my teams. It's my favorite time of the year. I get a day for each of them. It's going to be hard to try and take days off work for all three. So I've only set it at so far a Saturday stay off because I love and adore college football. It's my favorite sport. By far, the NFL really, really pissed me off this weekend, and that's coming from a fan of the Bears, and we won 30-12. So, the integrity of the game is never in question with college football, unless you're playing for Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, and it's just something about Saturdays with the Fighting Irish that have always been special for me. So, I look forward to seeing the boys go out there, take care of business again. You got a home game, an opportunity in front of the fans. Should be another sellout crowd. Should be another rowdy crowd. And let's find a way to win a football game and start the final third of this season on the right foot. Like I said, on the offensive side of the ball, I got Sam Hartman leading the way with over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. On the defensive side of the ball, Benjamin Morrison with an interception. We'll throw 5 tackles in there and 2 pass breakups. But that interception is getting brought back to the house. And then for the final score prediction, I have 35-13 with our Notre Dame Fighting Irish coming out on top. And then, like I said, too, we got a couple picks, over 31.5 points for Notre Dame, over 16.5 first half, and then Notre Dame's first half spread minus 10.5. It felt great. We had the bye week. I was able to do a full episode recapping my day over at USC, and we are able to give you a full episode, getting you guys ready for Pitt and getting you guys ready for the rest of this season. It's a much needed break for the players, for the podcasters, for the coaches, whichever way you want to say it. But I really always appreciate whether, you know, it's your first show listening or you've listened to us for the 4 years that we've had the show. I always appreciate having the listeners come through, spend their weekdays with us to get ready for this game here on Saturday. We'll be back with you guys next week, and we'll be breaking down the Pitt game, and then we will also be getting you guys ready for the game the following week, going up against Dabo Swinney and Clemson at Clemson. I can only imagine that's going to be a night game, and even though Clemson's not very good this year, you can definitely say without a shred of doubt that of the 4 games that we have left, that should be the game that poses the most problems. But that's a conversation for another day. As Mama would always say, Irish by 1,000. We'll be back with you guys on the other side, and go Irish.